That's a good truth to be reminded of. Amen. Thank you so much for that special. Got a treat tonight. We got Brother Kevin Mann with us. And he's, of course, don't need a lot of introduction to most of our crowd. But Kevin started off with us here in the early years. I think maybe I'd been here a year or two at the most when Kevin got saved. And he's been one of our trophies of grace that we talk about a lot. And God used him so mightily here in the early years of our church, and used to be our, grew to be our song leader very quickly. Grew in grace as fast as anybody I've ever seen, and become a real Bible student. He's got some books back there on his table. We've had some of them, may have some of them in the bookstore now, I'm not sure. But Brother Kevin goes real deep into the Word of God. He'll tell you things about the King James Bible that you just won't find anywhere else. And God's used him to write a number of books, and he's out in Texas now. He's had a voice problem. He used to be one of our soloists around here. And I think maybe down at the radio station, Brother Kevin, they found some of your songs still on tape down there. That was back when we carved them in stone, you know, way back. But anyway, it's a blessing to have him tonight. I've asked him to come on, and they'll turn the mic up much as they can, and you listen close. He'll have something good for us tonight. Brother Kevin.
Thank you, preacher. Love you, buddy. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. I want to give you a nugget before I get started. Before I take my text, I want you to look at John 3:16. Now, this is not my text. My preaching time hadn't started yet. So don't get excited. John 3:16. I'll tell you, I just thank the Lord for Landmark Baptist Church. I thank the Lord that set in April the 16th, 1972, on the very far end of the property, which was the main building at that time, an old long-haired dopehead bowed his knees and cried out and asked Jesus to save him, and he saved me. Never been the same since, amen. I just thank the Lord for those of you that have stayed by the stuff you've continually given to allow this ministry to go on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. All right, so I'm going to give you a little nugget to try to get all my butterflies flying in formation. I get all beside myself whenever I'm going to be here and speak to you. But I want to give you a nugget. 3:16. Everybody, I mean, that's probably the most famous verse in all the world. I mean, they in ball games, they flash up John 3:16. Everybody knows it. I want to give you a little something about it tonight that might help you. I want you to look down in the middle of the verse. And the word son, I want you to circle the word son if you mark in your Bible. And I want us to read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So circle that son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody can quote it from the kindergarten right on up. But I want to give you something here. Now the verse has 25 words in it. And of course, 25 is an odd number. So the middle word of that verse is the word son. There's 12 words before son, and there's 12 words after son. And so the word son is the 13th word. Now I want you to notice something. The 12 words before the word son is addressed to sinners, to the world, to the lost, to those that know not Christ. The last 12 words of the verse are for the believer. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. 12 words before, 12 words after. The son is the middle word. For the sinner, in the first 12 words, to get to the believer's 12 words, they must go through the son. You can't get there any other way. The first 12 verses to the unbeliever, the last 12 to whosoever believeth, but they had to go through the son. That's the only way you're going to get there. Okay, that didn't help much. I'm still nervous as I don't know what. All right, I'm going to take my text now. Look at Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to give you some coincidences in the Bible concerning the number 13 and Judas Iscariot, the number 13 and the crucifixion. Now, Pastor said I have a table in the back. I don't have very many books left. I've been on the road for 3 weeks, and just about the two camp meetings I was in this past couple of weeks just about wiped me out. But you can go to kevinmanbooks.com, and you can see all my books. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. So I'm going to read this. Everybody's familiar with Revelation 13. I'm sorry, Revelation 13 and verse 18, because there we have the number of the beast. Now, notice that it's in a chapter 13 in a verse 18, which is 3 times 6. So you have a 13 and a multiple of 6s. And then in the verse, you have the number 600, 666, or 666. Now, just let's read the verse. It says, here is wisdom. Do you want wisdom? Well, here's where you can get it. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding. Do you have understanding? Do you want wisdom? Look at this. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. So the Lord says you want some understanding about things. You want some wisdom about things. Well, then start counting. And you'll notice that the phrase 600, 666, that first word six is capitalized. That means that it's a proper noun. That means that it's identifying somebody, capitalized a person, place, or thing. So this is talking about the entire 13th chapter of Revelation. It's talking about the beast, and that's where he shows up. And 600, 666, that phrase just happens to be 26 letters, which is 2 times 13. Now, the word 13 and 13th just happens to appear 26 times in the Bible, which is 2 times 13. Now, these things are not an accident. God's fingerprints are all over this book. I believe that the numbers in the scripture are the watermark of the Bible. Right. I believe that, you know, you get a check or a $100 bill or whatever, you hold it up to the light, you can see the watermark. Well, when you hold this up to the light, you can see the watermark. Yeah. And it's the numbers that God has throughout the Word of God. Now, let me give you another little thing here. I was thinking about this. You know, when we get to heaven, I believe with all my heart that the Lord is going to take this book on the very first day that we get there. And like he did to the two on the road to Emmaus, how he started at Moses, Genesis 1, and he wound up in the prophets. John's the last prophet that there was. And he taught them all through the Bible concerning himself. I say, bless his holy name for that. I believe when we get to heaven, I believe the Lord's going to take this old King James, Blackback 66, and the first day in heaven, he's going to start in Genesis 1:1, and he's going to go all through. Now, remember, there is no night in heaven. So the first day is going to be humdinger. I'm telling you, it's going to be a doozy. There is no night there. And so I believe the Lord's going to give us some instruction that we missed by not studying and staying in the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I am so grateful, Lord, for your blessings. I pray for your unction, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Carter. I thank you for Landmark Baptist and what they changed my life by presenting the gospel to me. I've never been the same since. It saves generation after generation of lives. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and that you'd help continue this ministry, grow them and bless them financially and numerically. I pray for Dr. Carter's health. I pray that you'd bless him, give him the drive and the ability to go on and to keep going. And we'll thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I want you to look at John chapter 13. We'll give you some things concerning the number 13 and Judas Iscariot. Now, we know that the name Judas Iscariot has 13 letters in it, and he was the original Antichrist, and the phrase the Antichrist has 13 letters in it. Now, every time that the disciples were named, they were named in Matthew chapter 10, they were named in Mark chapter 3, and they were named in Luke chapter 6. And every time that they were named, Judas was always named last. So if you add Jesus to the mix, there's always 13 people in the group. And he was always the 13th. He's covered up with sixes and 13s. And every type of the Antichrist in the Bible, there's 18 of them, 3 times 6, they are covered up with sixes and 13s. Now, we pick it up here in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is the most treacherous chapter in the Bible. Here we have the deceiver, the Antichrist, Judas Iscariot. And then at the end of the chapter, we have Peter, who the Lord prophesies to him that he's going to deny him. So we have the deceiver and the denier both in chapter 13. It's not by accident. Now, look at verse number 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, they should depart out of this world of the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, and supper being ended. So this is what we commonly and normally call the Last Supper. Isn't that what we call it? The Last Supper happens to be 13 letters. There's 13 people in the room. And Judas is the number 13. 13 people in the upper room. And in John 13:2, we have the Last Supper. Now look at verse number 13. Anytime you have two 13s collide, then you're going to have a first-class train wreck. Two 13s together are bad news. Now, the number 13 has to do with rebellion. It has to do with a curse or being accursed. It has to do with Satan. It has to do with sodomy. It has to do with all kind of wicked things. Now, let me ask you, if you're a parent here tonight, about what age does the kids go crazy? About 13 years of age? I wonder why that is. That's just a coincidence. I'm going to give you a bunch of coincidences tonight, okay? But every parent can testify, well, about 12 and a half to 13 and a half, it's different, amen? And there's a reason for that, because 13 is the number for rebellion. Now, let's look at this 13:13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Now, he used the word Master and Lord, which just happens to be 13 letters. And he did that specifically talking about the disciples and about Judas. Judas never called in the Bible, never called Jesus Lord. He always called him Master, even when he went to the garden and kissed that bloody face of the Lord Jesus. He said, Master, Master. Now, you remember that the Lord Jesus started bleeding in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying? Do you realize that Judas Iscariot kissed the bloody face of Jesus Christ and went to hell?
Right.
He had the blood of Jesus on his lips. Just like some of you might have the name of Jesus on your lips, but you don't have him here. Judas kissed the bloody face of God and died and went to hell.
Amen.
What a tragedy. It's a tragedy for anybody to go to hell, but if you go to hell after kissing the face of God and having his blood on your lips, oh, how hot hell is going to be.
Amen.
And if you go to hell from the pews of Landmark Baptist Church, oh, how hot hell is going to be. Because you've heard the gospel every service for 50 years, 40 years. And so here in 13:13, we have the Lord Jesus saying, you call me Master and Lord. Now, there's a little word in there called so, the little italicized, one italicized word in that verse, so. If you count the words in that verse, delete the word so, that leaves you 13 words in the verse. And if you count all the letters in that verse except the little word so, you have 39 letters, which is 3 times 13. That's just a coincidence. We'll see. Look at verse number 18. The Lord Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and I hope you read your Bible. I hope I don't have to go back and explain all this. I hope you know enough about this passage that I don't have to go into great detail about what was going on. But we know it's a treacherous chapter. Now let's look at verse number 18. Jesus speaking, he said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, quote, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's talking about Judas Iscariot. And that is prophesied. Hold your finger there in John chapter 13 and look in Psalm chapter 41. Psalm chapter 41. I'm going to show you where the Lord got this passage of scripture. And Psalm 41 in verse number 9 says this. David writing here, Psalm of David, he's prophesying. He said, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. That's where the Lord, that's what he's quoting. Yes. Now, let me show you one other verse in Psalms that'll just going to blow your mind. Psalm 55. Just a few verses, a few pages over Psalm 55. And verse number 13. Of course, it has to be a 13. It says, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. That's talking about Judas. Same deal. And there just happens to be 13 words in 55:13. Just a coincidence. Now, let's go back to John 13. And he says, he that hath eaten bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now look at verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, quote, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Just happens to be 13 words. Now, Jesus knew that Judas was a devil, not the devil, but a devil. Now, look at John a few pages back, John 6, John chapter 6. Now, in verse number 66, you're very familiar with this, I'm sure, because in John 6:66, you have the disciples that turned away from the Lord and refused to follow him anymore. And from verse 66 to verse 71, just happens to be six verses. Now look at 670. Chapter 6, verse 70. Now, first, let me ask you, what is 6 plus 7? It's 13. Look at verse number 70. Jesus answered them, quote, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? But just happens to be 13 words. Now, look at the verse. There just happens to be two words in there that are numbers. One and 12. What is 1 and 12? It's 13. And that phenomenon happens six times in the Bible where Judas, the number 1 and the number 12 show up in the same verse. Six times, just by accident, just by coincidence. And so he said in verse 70, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? Now, the 13-word quote there, the last or the 13th word in that quote is the word devil. And he said, one of you is a devil. And we know who that was. It's Judas Iscariot, 13 letters. Now, look in, that's verse 21. Now, and also in verse 21, the 26th word of the verse is the word betray. And the word betray in all of its tenses appears 36 times referring to Judas Iscariot in the Bible. And it appears 39 times total in the Bible, but 36 of those to the betrayer, to Judas Iscariot. Now look at verse number 26, 2 times 13. Are we having fun yet? Amen. 2 times 13, and we're in chapter 13. So there's a trio, there's a trinity of 13s here and we're talking about Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, the deceiver. Now the Lord says something here. Now him and John's laying on his breast, and Peter nudges him and says, "Ask the Lord who's the deceiver." And Jesus answered, verse 26, "It is he to whom I shall give a sop." Now the word sop appears four times in the Bible, right here in this passage. S-O-P, sop, son of perdition, sop. Could be, maybe not. But look at it, says this. It says, "Whom I give the sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, 13 letters, the son of Simon, 13 letters. Now, you can't make that stuff up. Amen. Now, let's continue on. We get down to verse number 30, and it gives us a commentary on what just happened. Verse 30 says, "He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night." Verse 30 just happens to have 13 words. And the little phrase, "and it was night," is a very ominous thing. The Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, put that in there to show us the condition and the time, and how that Judas Iscariot, being filled by Satan, up in verse 27, went out in the night to betray the Lord. Not a coincidence. Yeah. Now look at verse number 27. It says, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him." Now the word Satan appears 55 times in the Bible. 55, 5, 5, death, death. It only means anything to do with grace when something is dying. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had five, but he was dying for you. So the five is connected with death. So the word Satan appears 55 times in the Bible, 36 of those in the New Testament itself. So there we have John chapter 13. We have the deceiver, and then now look down at verse 36. It says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, quote, Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, or thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Just happens to be 26 words in that verse. Now you say, "Brother Kevin, that's just a coincidence. It's just an accident. There's nothing to that." Okay, let's look at chapter 18. Now, the word Judas Iscariot, the name Judas, in the book, in the Gospel of John, only appears in chapter 6. Chapter 12, which is 2 times 6, chapter 13, and chapter 18, which is 3 times 6. Now, that's a remarkable thing, that John would only record Judas 666 in a 6, a multiple of 6, or a 13. There's something to that, folks. Now, see, if you'd stop watching the Wheel of Fortune long enough to get in this Bible, you'd find some stuff like that. Amen, Brother Kevin. This means yes right here, okay? Now, I want to show you some things about, continue with the number 13. Look at 18 and verse number 2. Now, 18:2 says, "And Judas also." Now, this chapter 18, 3 times 6, and verse number 2 is the 18th mention of Judas Iscariot in the Bible. So you've got chapter 18, 3 times 6, in the 18th time that he's mentioned, 3 times 6. He's covered up with 6s and 13s. Look at verse number 13. Look at verse 13, 18, 13. I want you to look at this. This just blows my mind. And led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. Now, the only two names in the verse are Annas and Caiaphas. Those two words together are 13 letters. It says, which was the high priest, quote, the high priest, just happens to be 13 letters. Look at verse number 18, 3 times 6 and a 3 times 6. And the servants and officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Now look at this. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself, quote, warmed himself, just happens to be 13 letters. Now look at verse 29. Now, we know that Pilate was a Roman governor, 13 letters. But what was his full name? Do you remember? Pontius Pilate, 13 letters. Just a coincidence. Says Pilate then went out and said to them, what accusation bring you, etc. Now, and he said, you have a custom at the Passover to release one. And verse number 39 says, at the Passover, which is just happens to be 13 letters. And the words, the phrase, King of the Jews, just happens to be 13 letters. Look at chapter 19 and verse number 5. Chapter 19, verse number 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the, quote, crown of thorns, 13 letters. And the purple robe just happens to be 13 letters. And then Pontius asked Jesus an outer space question. He said, whence art thou? Yeah. Now he knew he was from Herod's district, so it wasn't an earthly question.
Right.
It was an outer space question. Where are you? Where are you really from? What's going on here? Whence art thou? Amen. 13 letters. Look at verse 11. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it be given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath, quote, the greater sin, 13 letters. Verse 12, it says this, and from his forth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou be, let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. 13 letters. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. 13 letters. Now look at verse number 6. Now this blew me away. Verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, quote, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. 13 words. Just a coincidence. Verse number 16. It says this, they delivered him therefore unto them, quote, to be crucified. 13 letters. And, quote, they took Jesus. 13 letters. And, quote, and led him away. 13 letters. Look at verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the, quote, place of a skull. 13 letters. Verse 20, nigh to the city. 13 letters. Verse 23, the soldiers. And what kind of soldiers were they? They were Roman soldiers. 13 letters. Verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. 13 letters. Verse 38, fear of the Jews. 13 letters. They brought, verse 39, myrrh and alloys. 13 letters. Because there was a new sepulcher. 13 letters, was nigh at hand, which is also 13 letters. You say, Brother Kevin, that's just a coincidence. Okay, well, let me give you a couple more. Matthew 26. Now, we know that Matthew 26 is the chapter in Matthew of treachery and crucifixion. Matthew 26, which is, of course, 2 times 13. Verse number 5, 26:5. It says this. But they said, quote, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people, which happens to be 13 words. Verse 14, then one of the 12, 1 and 12 is 13, called Judas Iscariot, which is 13 letters, went to the chief priest. So the words 1 and 12 are there. Verse number 20, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. So Jesus plus the 12 is 13 in the upper room at the Last Supper. Now look at verse 59, and I'm hurrying. Verse 59 says, now the chief priests and elders and all the council saw false witness against him. A false witness happens to be 13 letters. Verse 59, put him to death, 13 letters. Verse 66, there's a good number. 66, two 13s and a 26 and then a 66 verse. And it says this, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Guilty of death is 13 letters. Verse 67, then did they, quote, spit in his face, 13 letters. 27:4. Now this is Judas, he went back to the priest and he threw the money down and he says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed, quote, innocent blood, which is 13 letters. Now look at verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself, 13 letters. Now I want you to remember that about him hanging himself, because I got a something at the end that's going to blow your mind. So he went and hanged himself, 13 letters. And so they took that money and bought with it a field to bury strangers. So the phrase bury strangers in verse 7 is 13 letters. Look at 27:26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, 13 letters. He delivered him to be crucified. Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, 13 letters. Verse 29, they mocked him, 13 letters. Verse 58, Joseph came and he begged the body, 13 letters. Now you remember when Jesus was born, he had a foster father by the name of Joseph. So in his beginning, he had a Joseph. And in his death, he had a surrogate Joseph. And Joseph in the Old Testament is the greatest type of Christ there is. Joseph surrounding Jesus. Now, so they begged the body. Now you say, Brother Kevin, that's, I'm still not convinced that the Word of God is has God's fingerprints on it. Okay, let's look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15, the book of Mark, the other next gospel. Mark chapter 15. And look at verse number 26, 15:26. It says this, and the superscription of, quote, his accusation, 13 letters. And then I said earlier, King of the Jews, 13 letters. But look at verse 28. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the, quote, transgressors. The word transgressors, Just happens to be 13 letters. And of course, Joseph came and he begged the body. Look at Luke chapter 22. Might as well give you all of it while I'm here. Luke chapter 22. I mean, you can't beat this word of God, folks. This thing is supernatural. This thing gets up and runs around at night. I believe somebody I've read it over and over and over, and I don't turn a page where I don't find something that I did not ever see before. Because that thing is alive, it's living. Luke 22:65 says this. Now 65, of course, is 5 times 13. And he says, the word in verse 65, blasphemously, that's 13 letters, and it only appears one time in the Bible, and it's right there. And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Look at 23, verse 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught. Now, soldiers are not gentle people. They're rough and they're crude and they're treacherous. They have to be because of their job. So they were not kind to Jesus. They not only scourged him and spat on him and placed a crown of thorns on his head and beat it down with a rod, but look at here, verse number 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. The phrase "a gorgeous robe" is 13 letters. That's the only time gorgeous appears in the Bible. Acts chapter 1. Just hold on there. We're almost through. Acts chapter 1. We're talking about the number 13 and Judas Iscariot and how it has to do with the crucifixion and the death and the betrayal of the Lord Jesus. Now, in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 25, is the last time that Judas Iscariot shows up by name in the Bible. Now, chapter 1, verse 25, 1 plus 25 is 26, of course, which is 2 times 13. Now look at 25. And this is Peter's trying to get a replacement for Judas. It says that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, quote, to his own place, 13 letters. Now, where was his own place? It's called the bottomless pit, 13 letters. And he's going to come up from that in Revelation chapter 9, and he's going to go back inside that spirit of Antichrist, and Satan is going to enter into that man of sin at Revelation chapter 9. So he went to his own place, 13 letters. Now, look at chapter 5. Now, you remember the apostles are preaching Jesus, and they're preaching the resurrection. In 5:28, it says this. Now, these are the high priest and all of those religious leaders that rejected the Lord, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and tend to bring this man's blood upon us. 13 letters. And you say, Brother Kevin, that's just a coincidence. Let me give you a few more. Something the Lord showed me the other day just blew my mind. You remember that I said a while ago that Judas went and hanged himself? 13 letters. Well, there's some hangings in the Bible. And the very first occasion of somebody being hanged was the chief baker. You remember back in Genesis 40 when Joseph was in prison and the butler and the baker were there and they had the dream and he interpreted the dreams. Well, they took the baker out and they hung him. That's number one. The second occasion of somebody being hanged is found in Joshua chapter 8. After Joshua and the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan and they started defeating the countries around them, there was five kings that they hid up in a cave. Joshua said, close it off, we'll come back for them. Well, they come back and they hung the five kings. That's in Joshua chapter 8. The third hanging, I'm sorry, there was the king of Ai in Joshua 8. The third mention of somebody being hung is the five kings in the cave in Joshua 10. The fourth occurrence of somebody being hung is in 2 Samuel 4:12. Rahab and Baana, they were hung up. The fifth time that an occurrence of somebody being hanged in the Bible is in 2 Samuel 17. Ahithophel, that was the counselor and the one that betrayed David, just like Judas betrayed Jesus, went out and hanged himself. He put his house in order and hanged himself. That's the fifth one, just like Judas Iscariot. Now the sixth occurrence of somebody hanging in the Bible is Absalom. Now Absalom is a two-hour message with sixes and 13s everywhere. I don't have time to go through all that. Preacher would not allow it. But Absalom is a great type of antichrist in the Bible. He is the sixth the number of man, and he was a wicked man. He went after his own father to cast him away from the throne. So that's found in 2 Samuel 18. The seventh occurrence of somebody being hanged in the Bible was Saul and Jonathan. You remember when they fell, the Philistines took their head and they trumpeted it all over the house of their little g false gods, but they took their bodies and they attached them to the wall of Bashan. So they were hung, Jonathan, Saul, and his other son. That's the seventh one. The eighth mention of somebody being hung was the seven sons of Saul. Remember when Saul was king, he went against the Gibeonites, and the Lord plagued him. And David went to the Gibeonites and said, what can I do to make this right? They said, give us seven sons of Saul. And they took those seven sons of Saul and they hung them up. The ninth one hanging is in Esther chapter 2. If you remember the story, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the confidants of the king, threatened the king to take to massacre or to assassinate the king. Well, Mordecai found out about it, and Mordecai told Esther. Esther told the king. The king researched it, and sure enough, they were guilty, and he hung them. Now, the 10th hanging in the Bible, I'm going somewhere with this, give me a minute. The 10th hanging in the Bible was Haman. Haman in Esther chapter 7. Haman is one of the great types of antichrist in the Bible. So that's the 10th hanging. The 11th hanging was Naaman's 10 sons. Now in the book of Esther, there's 13 people that are hanged. The two guards or the two confidants, Haman and then Haman's 10 sons, like the 10 toes on the image, are going to be hanged. They're going to be destroyed with the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. So that's the 10 sons. So you got Bigthan, Haman, his 10 sons. So in the book of Esther, you got 13 people hanged total. That's the 9th, 10th, and 11th one. Now the 12th occurrence of somebody being hanged in the Bible is found in Lamentation chapter 5. And Jeremiah lamenting over the condition of Israel. And he said, our princes are taken by Nebuchadnezzar and they're hung up by their hands. That's the 12th. Now you're not going to believe the 13th mention, the 13th occurrence of somebody hanging in the Bible. You're not going to believe this, so get ready. The 13th occurrence of somebody hanging is Judas Iscariot, who threw the money down, went out and hanged himself. Just happened to be the 13th one in the Word of God. Man could not have written that. He would not have written that. And if he had written it, he wouldn't have sat and figured that out to where Judas Iscariot was come out automatically the 13th right. one that hung. That's God's book. God has this book put together. This is God's word. Now let me give you one more thing and then I'm going to hush. There's one more mention of someone hanging in the Bible. It's the 14th and it's the last one in the Bible. Now we know that 14 is 2 times 7. 7 is the number of perfection, completeness. The 14th occurrence in the Bible of somebody hanging is the Lord Jesus Christ hanging between two thieves. It's the last and the 14th, 2 times 7. What did Jesus say from the cross? It is finished. So when you get to the 14th, someone hanging on the cross is complete. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ hanging between two thieves. You cannot make that up. You cannot put that together. Our computers today couldn't even begin to even try to do that, but God did it. And when you hold this word of God up to the light, you see the watermark. It's the numbers, their occurrences, as you find them throughout the word of God. 2 times 7. The 14th and last person hanged. The Lord Jesus Christ, it's finished. What a book. What a book. Now let me tell you something. Remember that first nugget I gave you about John 3:16? 25 words. Son is the middle word. 12 before, 12 after. If you're here tonight lost, you're in the first 12 words. For God so loved the world, the lost world, that he gave his only begotten Son. In order to get to the last 12 words, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You can live forever, but have everlasting life. You have to go through the Son to get there. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, you must go through the Son. He hung dying on a cross so that he could pay for your sin. He was buried, and 3 days later he arose from the dead. Hallelujah, what a Savior who could take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. Let's stand, would you please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.
With our heads bowed, have you been through the Son? Can't be saved. Can't get to that last part for believers without going through the Son. Oh, listen, don't go to church. Wind up lost and go to hell. You've got to come through the Son. Not through your mom, not through your dad, not through your church, not through your baptism or anything you name, but just through the Son. Have you been through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a supernatural book. It's God's book. No man could put it together like that, like you heard tonight. No way. If you've had any doubts and lies from the devil, this very book that tells you how to be saved also tells you you can die lost if you don't go through the Son. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation tonight, that not one would leave this building trying to reach heaven any other way except through the Son. I pray for that one that needs to be saved tonight. Whatever else you've asked somebody to do, join a church or follow the Lord in baptism, most important, have they been through the Son? Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust
him. Been through the Son?
In his presence.
Have you been to Jesus? Can't get on the other side, not on the right side without him.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Bow our heads. When you stand before the judgment, when you stand before God, don't say, well, I went to Landmark, I went with mom and dad, I went with my friends. That won't get you into heaven. You better know the Son. You got to get there through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear us say all the time, the Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Nothing else compares to it. It's a supernatural book. No man can copy it. He can't make it fit together. But as Brother Mann pointed out tonight, the fingerprints of God all the way through it. Phenomena that cannot be duplicated. Even in the computer age, that cannot be planned and duplicated. The last one that was hanged was Jesus hanging for you and I, finishing it. He'd be the finisher. He'd be the end of your doubts tonight if you'll know him personally. Oh, I hope you know him. One of the sad things I see sometimes as a preacher is I see and I hear great truths, and all you heard something tonight that you wouldn't hardly hear anywhere. And then I hate to say it, but I see it go over the head of a lot of people. I think about a story I read one time, Brother Kevin, is a mythical fairy tale type story. Said there was an old long-legged bird, old crane we'd call him. He's walking along the edge of the lake in the mud. And every now and then he'd reach down and he'd find a snail in the mud. While he's doing that, a beautiful swan come flying out of the blue heaven and landed on the clear water and kind of floated up close, swam up close to the old crane. And he told the crane, he said, I just came from heaven, most beautiful place you've ever seen. Up there with the Lord, and oh, it's so beautiful. And the old crane looked at him, standing with his feet in the mud, looked at him, said, any snails up there? You get the point. People just keep on walking around in the mud hunting snails of this old world. Sad, isn't it? Well, the beautiful blue skies and heaven above, they still got their head down hunting snails. That's sad. That is sad, but it's so true. Oh, while we're in God's house tonight and hearing what we heard and enjoying the things of the Lord, there's a lot of folks out there in snail land, out there in the mud. Sad. Surely is. All right. Thank you, folks.